Welcome back to part two of Old Friends. Do we keep those friends or not? Okay, that was episode four. This is part two to episode four. The first part dropped last week. And it took us so long because stereo app. That was a yawn, I'm sorry. Stereo app was like dragging out the recording and it wasn't ready, so sorry it took so long. But yeah, this is part two. Hope you enjoy your week. Be safe and all that jazz. New episode will drop next month because Greg has things to do. I'm traveling this week and it's just a lot, but yeah, so that's why we split it for y'all, so y'all can have two. So y'all don't feel left out. All right. We got to hop back into this thing. It's starting off where Greg is trying to think how he's going to handle his friend's situation. So let's just get back into it.
And then I looked at, you know, his father. Like, his father's a single guy, too. And, you know, no disrespect to his father, anything like that. It was just like, am I jealous of my friend, or is it just one of those things where it's like, okay, I have what he may want? Does it make sense? Like, you know, he may see it as like, oh, Greg, man, trust me, you don't want to be my age, you know, and be out here in the dating market. Whereas I'm seeing it's like, yo, he's being a playboy, you know, certain shit like that. When I think of like being jealous of your friends, so that's one instance where I was like, yo, like maybe I'm hating, maybe I'm like thinking about it the wrong way. But the one friend that I do know for a fact, I guarantee I'm hating on him. Was because of a situation that happened previously. And I don't want to like shout him out because I mean, he's still a homeboy or whatever. But what had happened was, I think, I swear to God, I've said this story before, Shane, but I'll keep it brief. There was a girl I was sleeping with, and then like he asked if he could talk to her, and she asked if they could talk to each other. And then when that didn't work out, I got blamed for it. I swear I've told this story like once or twice on the show before. But the jealousy that it like kind of seeped in was because of the fact that I'm like, yo, I just wanted the sex from her. And I got the sex or whatever. I'm like, yo, like she really wanted a relationship, right? And there was a little bit of jealousy that came from that. I'm like, yo, like what was so wrong with me? I'm like, okay, I can just be dick, but I couldn't be a relationship, right? And again, that's jealousy in my eyes. Like, damn, like I'm good to fuck, but I'm not good to be in a relationship with. So when it all like came crashing down, and she comes to me and she was like, oh, I didn't, you know, Greg, this was on you. You should have like told me. I'm like, where the fuck did all of that come from? I did not know. I truly did not know what was going on in the situation, right? So when I think about like being jealous of friends, being envious of friends, those are the only instances that I've ever had. But now that I'm a little bit older, you know, just going back before we go to the other voicemail, is I'm learning that you have to start having true conversations with your friends and not just those overarching, like, okay, we're friends, we talk about like surface level shit, right? And when I look at Pod Fam, when I look at like, when I call our group like the washed guys, right? Because we all married, you know, we pretty much don't do the shit we used to do, right? And we started talking about, you know, getting like colonoscopies and shit. I'm like, okay, we got to that point in the friendship. We've been friends for so long. We started to talk about fucking colonoscopies. That's crazy. But when something happened, I can't really disclose it, but they asked in the group, one of the guys was like, yo, like, I just realized like y'all have been a vital part of my life and I appreciate you. Thank you. I'm reading a text message here. Like, you know, I appreciate you. Thank you. Like, I couldn't have been the man that I am with better friends. And it made me think, I'm like, yo, like, have I ever, like, reached out via text or call or accountability meeting and said that to a friend, right? And the last time outside of you, the last time I've ever done that I could think of was with Baylor. Baylor called me, like, I'd say a month or two ago, and I couldn't figure out what he wanted. Because, you know, he'll call and he'd be talking shit. He'll be, you know, off of edible or something like that. And, you know, he'll just call you. And, you know, it's just those moments where you end up having a 15, 20 minute conversation with Baylor about absolutely nothing. Right. But it was just weird because he called and he was like, yo, I'm just checking up on you, making sure you're good. And I said to myself, I'm like, yo, I need to start doing that to Balaam. I need to start reaching out. So this is the, I guess, the point of the show where I'm going to say this, and I'll just leave it to the floor, is I had to start holding Greg more accountable for not being good enough of a friend to my peers, which means like me reaching out, extending the olive branch, and, you know, just being accountable for the friendships that I want from other people. And that goes back to a portion of that being I'm being a better friend to the wrong people instead of the people that I should have been friends with, the people that I should have been, you know, reaching out to and pouring into. Those five cups that I was telling you about, Shane, like pouring into those five instead of pouring into that one. Because by the time I had the opportunity to pour into those other four cups, the first one's overfilled and I have no fucking liquid in the cup left. And I can't borrow from that because that cup is so stingy. If you pick it up, it just leaks from the bottom. And again, it just resonated with me, just having friends kind of like send texts like that, talk to me like that. More importantly, giving me that come to Jesus moment that, you know, Minnesota had mentioned and the Torah dad has said. It's like sometimes you just have to start with being a better friend and you may have, you know, better relationships as a result. But saying that, the flip the coin is here for anybody who's listening is the friends that you have, do you feel like you are a better friend to them than they are to you? But before y'all answer that question, like leave it in the voice notes and everything on stereo, but we have three voicemails. Shan's going to play them for y'all.
You know, I always had this feeling with my business partner that he stole something from me, and I couldn't tell what it was. I couldn't tell, like, was it my time? I didn't have any money. You know, I forego my job to work with him on this thing. Could have made a lot more money not working with him, but I decided to let go of that money to work with them for $0 an hour and for 7 years, type of thing. But seeing how he did business with other folks and always being like, this dude is shiesty. This dude doesn't care. And he's always making an excuse of how he's doing business, and he's just like, yo, this is business. I'm realizing now that he might have been doing that to me and might just not have been aware. And I didn't know how to communicate it because I had trusted them because of that friend label. And so she gets it, as you're saying, like mixing all these labels and associating with one person, maybe not a good idea.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
Well, they say you can't pour from the empty cup. You know, your cup's supposed to be filling over and any excess that's then goes into somebody else if you've got the capacity, right?
Correct.
That's how it's supposed to be. I'm sorry.
That when it comes to people and relationships, you got to look at it as an investing. You know, if you had $100, why would you put all of the 100 in one stock when you can spread it to many people that you feel like these people are also valuable too. Let me give some to all of us. Kind of like breaking bread. You know, if you had a group of friends and everybody was starving, you're gonna sit there and eat the whole bread by yourself, or you're gonna split it up. And that's how you have to figure out how you're gonna pour it into multiple people who are also valued by you, and not just focus on one, because sometimes that one that you're focusing on will milk you until you're exhausted and you don't want to show up for anybody else. You don't want to give anybody else chances because your experiences have been with this one person too much and they were the wrong person to have certain experiences with. And so same thing with workplaces. People spend years put in effort at a workplace that'll lay them off tomorrow and not blink. You have to figure out, okay, when I wake up in the morning until I go to sleep, am I 100% only investing in this job and not showing up in any other way? Am I not working out? Am I not, you know, giving myself something I like throughout the day? Am I showing up for my family? Am I showing up for my friends? Did I even see my face when I washed my face this morning? Or did I just wash my face because I need to check it off a list? Like, a lot of people are not aware of how much they're pouring into everything else and then forgetting themselves in the mix. And then one day, yeah, you are going to get exhausted. One day, yeah, you are going to have an outburst and cuss your friend out because they don't see how much you've been giving and they have given you nothing. So Yes, it's a very much balance your fucking checkbook of effort.
When you talk about calling your friends, that's why I really don't have many friends. Because I feel like I'm a very good friend. And if I could call you more than 5 times in a month, and then I stop calling you for a whole entire month, and you don't call me not once, then we're not friends. That's how I feel. So, that's how I lost a lot of friends. Because I would call, check up on them. We'll have talks for hours. And then I'm like, let me see if they'll call me to check in on me. And I would get nothing. So, like I say, I have one friend. He calls me, I call him. We talk almost every other day. And we always spend 3, 4 hours on the phone. So, when it comes to that,
I also feel like if you're over 30, we're too grown and got too much shit that's supposed to be happening in our lives day to day to be only calling to talk to a friend about the latest tea or the latest gossip or have you heard that such and such or have you heard that what happened to such and such? Why the fuck do you have time to have a conversation with someone else about someone else in your adulting day? Why isn't a conversation you call somebody or you text them and be like, can you talk? And then you get on the phone and it's, hey, how you doing today? What mood you in? Oh, okay, I can talk to you about X, Y, and Z. Okay, good. Like this is rare that people check in to see if other people have the capacity for their shit. Because a lot of times you don't notice that you have a friend that just dumps on you. They dump their problems on you. They dump their drama on you. They dump what's happening good in their life, and they'll never think to consider, well, what the fuck is going on with you? Or what you got going on? Or do you need something? And a lot of times, for me, I appreciate my phone being dropped. It because I don't know nobody's business. I don't want to know anybody's business. And when you're that person where you don't want to know anybody's business, usually people keep bringing their outside shit to you. You know, you're the person that person wants to vent to because they feel like it's safe here. Because you don't talk to nobody like that. You ain't oversharing anybody's business. You're the first to know some good shit's about to happen. And then everybody finds out 2 weeks later or a month later because you have to be a person that values a level of peace where as long as your name is not in it and can't be brought up in it, you ain't in it. And that's the most peaceful place to be mentally. And when I see my friends, I don't just see my friends to take something from my friends. I'm not just seeing you or calling you up because it's my birthday and I in my mind I have an expectation of how you need to show up for me. I'm not calling you up only because it's Thanksgiving and I ain't got nowhere to go, so I'm trying to see what you cooking and I'm gonna come empty handed. Like, there's so many people that's like that, and because they were never corrected, they think that shit is okay. You have to learn how to check your friends in a loving way and be like, hey, if you ain't got nowhere to go, you could come over, but bitch, you better not pull up in here empty handed. You better bring something. Like, that's an invite that's checking you, and that's also you're still invited, but be considerate. And if you can't be real with your friends like that, then are they really your friends? If you can't sit on the phone and hear how your friend cussed out someone at the job and did X, Y, and Z and be like, you know what? You was kind of wrong. You didn't have to do all of that. You really acted an ass. Or, you know both of the people in the relationship on the same level, and now because they don't like the other person, they want you to pick a side. I've been there. I've been there. And I've tried to be the fair one in that situation. And it gets to a point where one of them feels like you need to pick. And it's usually the one that did the most dirt and was dead wrong. But the only way they feel right about their wrong is if they have you as a friend and the other person doesn't. But those are, have to be like those have to be the people that you're willing to lose, because there's a lot of people that double down when they're fucking wrong and they need to get to a point where they're ready to see they're wrong and fix it. And when you have a friend that's, yes, they've been good to you in the past, y'all have had good times, good or bad or whatever they did, you still care about them and you want the best for them. And they want you to pick a side. They want you to be okay with their wrong in a way where, please don't correct me, because if you correct me, you're not really my friend. I ain't got no time for that shit. That's some playground shit. If I can't tell you when you're wrong, then we can't do shit together, because I allow friends in my life to tell me when I'm right, to tell me when I'm wrong. I have friends that'll call me up butt naked with outfits on the bed and say, does this go with this? Should I wear this? I have friends who are married who call me up on FaceTime and put on lingerie and be like, do you think he would like this or this? That takes years to get to. That's not no, oh, you just a girl from work type stuff. You know what I'm saying? I have friends who are male who explain the dirt shit that they did in their relationship and why they allowed X, Y, and Z and what they peep and how they felt hurt, how they felt bothered, but would never tell the person they was in that relationship with. And I have to tell them when they were wrong. And I have to tell them, I've noticed something in the last 5 relationships that you had that you're not noticing. You got to correct that. If that person that you're calling on the phone cannot do that, then y'all are not friends. You're not growing. You're stalling. And a lot of the mess that we see on the internet or on these social media streets and these crazy ass stupid opinions are people who think they are friends with people who actually care about them. Because when people care about you, you gonna have friends that will see that you posted something, hit you on your phone in text, or call you up and be like, take that shit the fuck down because you look stupid. Take that down because you're wrong. Take that down because there was a better way that you could have went about X, Y, and Z. If your friends are going to be the ones in the comments and the ones sharing your posts in the group chat and not letting you know how you can be better, you ain't got no friends. You ain't got good people.
Mm. I agree with that. That's cheap, man. Shan out here going to church and y'all thought y'all were going to have to hear from me all night. Look at that. Look at how the way the fucking wheels turn.
We got hella messages. I'm going to run through them.
Okay. So this is a stretch. And I'm still, you know, studying this and how it is and my moral code and all that. But as a man of the Torah, one of the things we learn is not to covet other people's property or women or anything of somebody else's, of any other man's. Don't do that. And I find in myself, murder comes over me. Straight up, murder comes over me. And I don't even know how to explain it. Like, you took something of mine, and I'm about to take it back. And you keep taking it, I'm about to take it back. Like, I'm about to fight you to the death to make sure that you don't exist anymore so I can have my stuff. And so there's a code here that man needs to follow in order to keep their peace. And I've learned how to, like, separate myself from folks that can't follow my code, you know?
That's the healthiest way to disconnect.
Yeah, they call them energy vampires, and they will drain you if you don't have boundaries. And when I ask people what their boundaries are, they can't tell me most of the time.
That's crazy.
I think a lot of problems with do you think you're a better friend than people are to you? I think a lot of it is expectations. You know, most people are not going to be like you. Do they add value to you in being who they are authentically? I think that is the biggest question. And if they're not, then why do you have them in a position where you have an unbalanced relationship, right?
Right.
Where is the value for you with this person, right? And you know, people have to provide value to you one way or another, and you have to, you always have to not only evaluate yourself on being valuable, right? Being a good friend, but also, you know, step back separately and evaluate, does this person fit in the position I allow them to be in?
Yes. Sometimes you gotta hire and fire within a short period.
Then there was something when he was like, Chris, don't call me anymore. He said, do you know how much I invested in you? And I was like, do you understand that that's the language that I hate? That you're talking to me like I'm a slave. And I'm not that, buddy. And it took me a while to realize that even though he would occasionally take me to Chipotle, let me spend the night at his house. I mean, as it wasn't, I was homeless at my parents' house, I was staying at, and it wasn't like I've not lived on my own many times before. There was a way that he looked at me like I was some helpless person. Not that I was an investor into the business. And I had to fix my psyche to remember that we're both investing this. And even though money may look like money, there are other forms of currency and resources that are included in this package.
Yo, yeah, right, I'm gonna say this.
He pitied him. He belittled him.
Yeah. Finding out that your friend is a narcissist has to be one of the most eye-opening things ever, bro. Because you don't want to accept it. You don't really agree with it. You can't really check them on it because it's like you done sat with that for so long, or you've sat with other people telling you it, that when you actually have that, like, come to Jesus moment or whatever, you're like, damn, you really ain't shit. But for your homeboy to say that he invested in you, like, a friendship is an investment. So you invested just as much as he did. So yeah, he's a true piece of shit for saying that, man.
Yeah. And this is another thing I don't like. When he was saying that, I thought about people who do something wrong or incorrect and they need to apologize, and instead of them apologizing, they try to bring up all of the stuff that they've done for you, as if, now let me show you my receipts on why you shouldn't tell me shit. If it's genuine, you're not going to bring it up and put it in my face when we're talking about something completely different right now. I do not like when people have to bring up and remind you of what they've done for you when they're in a wrong, and it's a whole different conversation. Because it makes me feel like you're not doing things out of being genuine. You're setting yourself up for having some type of collateral.
Exactly.
And I don't want to have that relationship, because that's like me keeping all the receipts for every time I buy something or pay for something for my kids. And then when I feel like they get to an age where now you need to pay me back. Your kids don't need to pay you back from shit. I guarantee you, your kids are here because you enjoyed a fuck years ago.
Which is crazy. Okay? Like how can you have a friendship? And I'm sure people do it, but I've never been the type of friend who's like, remember when I did this for you? Remember when I didn't say this? Remember when I, like, if we have to keep reminiscing about the things you've done for me, you should no longer do for me. That's some shit like your old employer should say. Like, remember when you worked here? Like, no, bro. Like, this is a wild topic, I'm telling you.
I mean, there's so many ways it could just go, but it's a lot. It's really people learning how to build their tolerance and know their limits. And do you have a person in your life that you call a friend that you could be like, sorry, but the answer is no, and they respect you enough to be like, okay, and it's no hard feelings. But if somebody feels entitled to your yes all the time, then that's when you know you have exceeded your boundaries too many times with this person.
That's a fact.
Yeah, the trauma dumpers, but they're not around to listen to you when you need some trauma dumping. So are they really a friend or are they just really an associate?
Right.
I love that.
The trouble is, in this day and age, people find it very hard to hold themselves accountable. So they'd rather be wrong and strong because they can't deal with the shame and the embarrassment of saying, you know what, I was bang out of order or I weren't moving right. So that's what people do. They just project out their toxicity.
What's up, Chan and Greg? Stay spectacular. Shout out to everybody in the room. I hope all is well with you and loved ones. Great topic. Great topic so far. Grow old with friends or not. I have a few friends that I grew up with. I hold them near and dear to my heart. For a lot of people that I meet, like associates and some friendships that come and go, we hold people according to what your boundaries are, right? How involved are you as a friend and the interactions that you do have? How close are they and how, you know, how distant you want to keep them? Friendships are interesting. Friendships are important. It's great to have associates to learn and grow because not everybody's meant to.
I tell my kids all the time, if they make it rich, I need all my money back. My second child is a really good football player right now, and I let him know, you make it to the NFL, I need all my money back with interest.
Tax imbalances. I wanted to run through this 10 rules to stay current in my life list for friends. Before I go into some more voicemails, if you have any thoughts on these, please drop them in the voicemail. I'll run through them. Okay, so for me, I'm going to go 10 to 1. It's not in levels of importance. It's just basically this is what it has to be to qualify, or you just got to stay where you at. So 10 rules to stay current in my life as a friend. Number 10, you got to grow with my changes. Number 9, I have to learn something from you that's productive, vice versa. Number 8, you cannot dwell in a stagnant living. Meaning, if I see that you're not trying and you keep giving me excuses, I will point out how much time has gone past since you said you were going to do X, Y, and Z for yourself and you haven't done it. And if you can't handle that, I'm not going to stay around and watch. I'm not a watch you fail friend. I'm a encourage you so you don't get too far to the bottom friend. And if you think that that's too much pressure or I'm not being understanding about it, I'm the most understanding person on the planet. I have to disengage because I'm not going to watch you drown yourself. Number 7, if you are a parent, I have to respect you as a parent. Thank you so much for listening and checking out this show. If you would like to support, you can always go on your favorite podcast app and leave us a review. Also, share clips of the show if you can. Other than that, catch us on stereo or in the social media streets. Now, we're going to be back to the show. There are things that you do as a parent that can improve, and I don't see that you're improving them or you don't care, I'm not going to sit there and watch you create a a lifestyle for your child to then need their own therapist. Number six, you have to understand that I won't see or talk to you every day, and you have to be okay with that. You know, I have a friend from high school where we didn't go to college together. We didn't have jobs together. We lived in different states. And whenever she comes through Georgia, she's free to stop at my house with her kids and her husband. You know what I'm saying? Vice versa. If I'm going to North Carolina, I know I have a place to stay. But I don't talk to her every day. You know what I'm saying? I randomly check on her. I randomly ask about the boys, ask about her husband. You know, she would love for me to throw the girls in the truck and drive to North Carolina by myself and just hang with her. But some people don't know how their lives are so comfortable compared to someone else's life of constantly having to be the one in plan. And I feel like she understands that, but me putting two kids in a car and driving by myself from Georgia to North Carolina and back and thinking about work and bills, that's kind of different from her driving with her husband and two boys to come see me. And so you have to really have a conversation like, I would love to, but that's not something I can do by myself. And you got to be understanding of that. Number five, I have to be able to be really honest with you. If I don't feel comfortable being really honest with you because you're going to take offense to everything that's said, this is not going to get far. Okay. You're not going to be comfortable here. Number four, I want to know what I can do to help you. I'm not going to watch you struggle with something that I know how to do efficiently and watch you struggle. I'm not going to do it. And it's not about you paying me. It's not about you needing to ask for help. I'm going to offer my help. If you get really offended and push back hard enough or rude, that's going to be the last time I offer my help. But if you ask for my help, I'm not going to deny you help. A lot of people have a hard time recognizing that. You know what I'm saying? If you got a resume and you wonder why you're not getting these jobs, and I say, email it to me, and you haven't emailed it to me in 2 weeks, I'm not going to remind you in 2 weeks you were supposed to email that to me. That's on you. But, you know, most people use ChatGPT now. But there's that. Number three. You have to be okay with my no's and my disagreements and still respect me, vice versa. I don't think all my friends are supposed to agree with my thoughts. I don't want all my friends to agree with my thoughts, but I would love my friends to allow my thoughts to be heard. Number two, allow me space to grow and I will allow you space to grow. And I think that's where a lot of people miss, because if you're seeing your friend every week or you're talking to your person every day and there's no space for appreciation, there's no space for, damn, I really feel like I'm missing something this week. What haven't I done or what am I forgetting? Oh, I ain't talked to such and such. Or when you're sick and people understand your routine, visually, mentally, I haven't seen this person here. They haven't came to work. They didn't call me. Let me go check up. Like what your friend did, Greg. Let me call them. A lot of people out of pride and their ego will refuse to call somebody because the last time they were together, it was an argument or a disagreement. Sometimes I feel spiritually you can be connected to someone no matter what. Whether y'all on a good or y'all on the bad or y'all haven't talked in years. And whenever I have a feeling, like a strong feeling to call someone or text someone, I do it. Because that one day could be a couple of hours before they was thinking about taking their life. that one day could be a couple of hours before they were thinking about doing something stupid or going off on somebody, and they just needed a moment to reminisce about some good shit, to do a shift. And a lot of people don't do that. A lot of people might have those moments with their parents, where their parents might be sick, and the way that they're dealing with the grieving of their parents being sick and trying to prepare for when their parents not here, they avoid their parents. But if in your mind something is telling you, call your mom, or call your dad, and you don't do it, and then you get a call from somebody else being like, such and such passed, you're going to feel like shit.
Yep.
So I think a lot of times it's relationship-wise, outside of friendship sometimes, that you can call and check on somebody. That don't mean y'all have to be back on the same track y'all were before you called. Like, when this first COVID shutdown happened in 2019, I had a falling out with one of my good friends from college. And I wasn't talking to her for a few weeks. And then when I got like the clearance that there's the job was going to shut down and you was just going to have to be at home, because I knew she didn't have no car, I pulled up at her apartment and I called her and I said, hey, I was just checking on you. Do you need something? Do you need to go to the grocery store? Do you need me to take you anywhere so that you have X, Y, and Z in your apartment? She was like, no, I'm good. I'm glad you came. And I hugged her. But in my mind, I'm just like, we will never be what we was before this day. Mm. But out of human connection, I'm checking on you.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And I, still to this day, I haven't talked to her. And I think over like going on 2 years come this May. Mm-hmm. Because I'm a very honest person where if I can't be transparent with you, if I can't talk to you about how something could have been done a better way, and you can't even find it in yourself to apologize or see you're wrong, I can't be like, yeah, that conversation was incomplete, but let's go here, let's go shopping, let's do this, come eat at my house. I'm not that. We have to be able to finish a disagreement or a situation, and it has to come to completion so this don't happen again. And a lot of times people don't have those completion talks with their friends or their family or whoever they're dating, and they keep wondering why they said they was going to stop doing this, but they still doing it. Mm-hmm. Because you let them escape from the conversation.
Yep. And that was me. Like, I tell people, I'm like, yo, like, I'm two and through. Like, I give people, you know, an opportunity. It's, you know, it's one of those fool me once, but you don't get to fool me twice. And the reason for that is because, like, I take my friendships, like, very serious. Like, how can I put it without sounding like a complete asshole? It was like the golden rule, like, treating others the way you want to be treated. We learned that when we were, like, 3-4 years old, right? So the fact that that can't apply for an adult, that means you don't care to begin with. So fuck you. And right. I'm definitely one of those people where when it's fuck you, it really is fuck you. Like, there is no redemption. My mom, she got mad at me because she was like, well, Greg, when you beef with people, you beef with people. I'm like, no, it's not beef. Like, I want you over there, me over here. We could be in the same room and I don't have to speak. That's the thing. That's exactly that's who I am. And yeah. I've owned it. I accepted it. But I'm also, and you know, I see my mom do it, which is crazy because like she's going through shit where she's like, she doesn't talk to this cousin. She don't talk to that cousin. I'm always telling her, well, be the bigger person. And she flips it on me. She was like, well, you be the bigger person. I'm like, I'm sure.
Yeah, I gotta be the bigger shit. You can't tell nobody to be the bigger person. I'm not a fan of being the bigger person.
Well, here's the thing. For me, I've never even claimed to be the bigger person. When I tell my mom to be the bigger person, it's because she's the older person. She's the older cousin.
That right? don't mean shit yeah. to me.
Well, hear me out. She'll do like trivial shit, right? Like she'll be beefing with the person and be in spaces where they at. Like,
oh no.
Say yeah. Like for example, my mom. Like her birthday is February. Like you know, around my birthday, and her sister's birthday is 2 days before. My aunt who was her sister, had a birthday party that she invited my mom to, right? So my mom goes, knowing for a fact that she don't fuck with the cousins there, or, you know, one or two of the cousins, right? And I told her, I was like, Mom, you know, if you want to go, just go to, you know, celebrate, you know, your sister's birthday and everything like that. She says she's going to do that. I get a call from my aunt saying, oh, well, you know, your mom, she didn't speak to anybody. She just gave him the side eye and shit like that. I was like, see, shit like that. That's what I'm talking about. Like, the being the bigger person shit. Like, if you know you're going to put yourself in a space with them, I'm not saying you don't need to speak to them, you don't need to fuck with them, but I'm like, you're intentionally going there because you know for a fact that they're going to be there. That's like me.
This is the thing, mm-hmm. too, Greg. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the opposition knows, oh, I know such and such going to come up.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll sit there just so they have something to say after
everything's
said and done. And I'm the type of person where if I'm somewhere because we have somebody mutual that we cool with, I have an idea that you're going to be here, but I'm not looking for you. You don't even exist to me. Right? Mm-hmm. And if you know I don't fuck with you and I know I don't fuck with you, mm-hmm. you shouldn't have shit to say when we leave here about if you saw me.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm like that about people I don't fuck with by blood. And sometimes if I know they're going to go out their way to paint me into the one that's being the bitch about the situation, I will gather my children. Mm-hmm. And as they're coming in another door, I am leaving. Yeah, because I'm the type of person where I will make a scene. If I don't fuck with you, please don't talk to my kids. Don't touch my kids. Don't bring shit for my kids because you're still trying to connect with me.
Exactly. And I'm an unplugging motherfucker. They'd be like, Craig, man, you really don't fuck with this nigga. No. Like, you know for a fact, like, you know,
I don't the like guy I told messy. You about.
It's not even messy. Like, I'm here for other people's mess. That's entertaining to me. But once I start having mess around me, like, that, again, like, therapy will teach you, like, nah, let that be other people's mess. Like, fuck them. Like, I don't know them. They don't know me. Like, that's why we watch reality TV and all that other shit. But once
hey, I no, speak for step, yourself. I don't watch that shit.
Okay. Trust me. I'm speaking for me. Like, I'm all for... I feel for, like
The
okay,
Bachelor that, is just pimping on television.
Oh, for sure. That's why when I say it's other people's mess, like... I'm not saying I entertain it. If I come across it, I see it, I'm like, oh, that's some bullshit there, right? I'll have an opinion about it, but I'm going to leave it to myself and the person I'm with. So if Jess and I, we see some shit, I'm like, all right, Jess, this between me and you, we're going to talk about it when we get home. Her and I, when we first started dating, I had a clause in the relationship. When we argue, it ain't never in public. And the reason why is when people see y'all have an argument in public, they start, concocting stories about what could have been, should have been, and what he did wrong, what she did wrong. And there was one time when we went out, and everybody know, you know, just Jewish. So she goes and, you know, she arguing in public because she, you know, she out drinking and shit. I'm out drinking too, right? So somebody walks up, just some random ass person, just sees us arguing, sees me vocalizing, see her vocalizing. They approach Jess. Ma'am, are you okay? And I'm looking at them like, who the fuck are you? Exactly, right? So again, when I say, like, you know, I had to curse the person out, and then, you know, obviously I had to apologize to Jess because you never know what the fuck happens there, right? But we pretty much put up that clause of, like, that arguing in public shit is for other people's entertainment. You gain nothing from... arguing in public. You gain nothing from making your beefs public and shit. But when I tell people it's fuck you forever, it absolutely is. One of the guys that's one of my friends, I did my grandmother a solid, right? So what had happened was he was supposed to be a groomsman at the wedding. And for like a year and a half before the wedding, I didn't realize he ain't really fuck with me like that. And I'm like, yo, like, do I just, I really just have bad judgment in who my fucking friends are, right? Which is crazy because I have too many of them. So I asked the person who told me, which is the best lady at the wedding, I was like, yo, like, did he say why? And she's like, no, he just said it. I was like, oh, I know exactly what it was about. What had happened without me going into too many graphic details is he got a little bit handsy with a woman out at a house party. And it got back to me and the guy group, right? Like all the guys. me being an accountable friend that wants to make sure your friend don't fuck up, instead of me being quiet, I said, bro, you knew you were wrong. You shouldn't have done that. How much, you know, regardless of how much you drunk or something like that. And then you lied about it, which kind of fucked me up because I'm like, yo, not only did you do it and you say you don't remember, you lying, and then you were drinking all the elements, right?
I hate when people say they don't remember because I'm just like, nigga, how convenient.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. How you don't remember, but this fucking seven people calling me that Dana, half the motherfuckers, they only knew me from Facebook. Like, and the only reason I say that is because, like, DC's small but large, right? And basically what happens, he went to a house party, whatever. There's a girl that he's vibing with or whatever, right? He gets a little bit handsy. She's saying no. He keep pressing her and shit like that, right? I don't know the entire story because I wasn't there. And I'm not going to speak on that, man, because I don't know what really happened. All I do know is if we boys, we best friends, and you're supposed to be honest and say, you know what? Even though I don't remember, I wasn't there. This nigga said he don't remember being there. He didn't do that. For sure he didn't do that. And I said, bro, they got pictures. I was like, you in photos and videos. Because remember, we in the era where motherfuckers want to record everything. You can't be out in public and not be recorded. So
right.
He go, video I get sent by an ex that I used to fuck with in like 2010. This shit happened in like 2015. Jess and I fully in a relationship at this point, right? So the girl calls me. She's like, Greg, you know, you need to get your boy. I'm like, what boy? What the fuck? And, you know, all this stuff happens. Again, happens 2015. Jess and I get married 2018. This is a whole 3 years. I done gone, sent out the, hey, do you want to be my groomsman invitation? All the save the date, all that shit. All that stuff has already been mailed out. You had 3 years to tell me you ain't fuck with me, right? Said nothing. So last year, the Christmas party even, I didn't even tell you this. So Christmas party comes up. And my grandmother's like, you know what? You should make amends. You know, you got to be a better friend. That, you know, it's going to be a new year. You should reach out and make sure he's good. Because, like, you know, God rest his mom. So she passed away. So I was like, you know what? I'll do that. You know, I'll reach out to him. Make sure, you know, he and, you know, he's good. His mom's good. Family's good and stuff like that. Right. Because, again, like, we're not friends, but I'm not a complete asshole. Right. Like, if something were to happen to one of my family members, let you not call. Right. Regardless if we beefing or not. Let your ass not call. You've been around this long, right? So he comes to the Christmas party. We cool, you know, we dap him up. We speak for a minute. I keep going about my day as if like, okay, I got a Christmas party to host. I don't mind that he's there. He can entertain everybody who ain't seen him in like 4 or 5 years, right? But what stemmed, you know, going back to 2018 was we're trying on the suits for the wedding and shit like that. Trying on the suits for the wedding. And Shan, I shit you not. He tells them, you know, he tells everybody, oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to have the money for it because we needed the money the next week. Next week comes, fucking, like, disappears like Phantom at the Opera, right? So we're trying to figure out, like, where the homeboy got, like, what is going on? And he's like, yeah, I'm going to definitely pay it, blah, 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 blah. This is in March. We got to pay for these suits for the wedding that's in July, right? He hits me up, like, April, like, I forgot, sometime in April. He's like, hey, bro, I don't think I'm gonna be able to afford it. I got a whole bunch of stuff going on with family, stuff like that. I'm like, cool. You can't be a groomsman or whatever. You can still be a part of the wedding. You can pass out the, I forgot what you call the guys who pass out the stuff at the wedding and stuff. You just, like, you have a job, right? I still want you to feel important for the day. You can just wear whatever the fuck you're gonna wear. You just don't have to be in a groomsman suit. No big deal, right? I shit you not. The night before the goddamn wedding, I get a text. Hey, bro, I ain't gonna make it. I'm sorry. Blah, 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 blah. At this point, still had never heard that he didn't fuck with me. We're getting high. We literally smoking weed in the back of the house in Rhode Island, right? So when we got married, we go and we're smoking weed or whatever. The best lady, she goes and she says to me, she was like, now that you're married and it's all done, I can tell you the truth about what he said. She tells me, oh, he said he don't fuck with you, blah, 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 blah. And then she says, he said he don't fuck with you because you called him out on a situation that happened that night at the house. And I'm like, nobody called him out. He fucking lied. So there's that. Two, what type of friend am I to not tell you when you fucked up? Which, again, that moment was, again, a come to Jesus moment for me to be like, you know what? If you can't hold your own friends accountable for their actions, then fuck them. You can't be in a situation where you can't be completely transparent to people who know all your business, right? And if they'll lie to one of their closest friends about some shit that they know that they did, and then get mad because you held that friend accountable, again, the moral of the story is fuck them. So, you know, that was just like a eye-opening moment for me to be like, you know what? Like, as much as you can be a friend to somebody else, they will be an absolute piece of shit to you if you do something wrong to them one time. That's why I have that two-time rule. You can fuck up once, but rule number two is nah. There's nothing I do to any of my friends that anybody can say, you know what? Greg's ever fucked me over. Greg's ever done, like, there are people, Shane, I promise you that you'd be like, wait a minute, Greg hooked that person up? Greg, I've been, like, hooking friends up. I've been hanging out with friends. I have friends that I've never, like, tangibly met in real life. I've had them for over fucking 15, 20 years. The last thing they'll tell you is like, yo, Greg, you know, he be treating his friends like shit, right? You know, he be doing it. Like, my fucking daughter calls, like, people that I've just been friends with uncle. So that's how deep that shit goes. So when people, well, I don't say fuck you over, but when people take your kindness for weakness, and they take your friendship as a one-way street, sometimes you got to tell them that it's also a left-hand turn, and I can absolutely just go in another direction. So I'll wrap my little portion up by just saying, you know, to the topic about, like, growing with old friends, you can definitely grow with them, but if you have to outgrow them, you have to completely, like, cut that shit off, because if you don't cut off the head of the snake, that shit's still going to slither. And it's happened to me too many times, to the situation happening in January being my moment of clarity. Be like, you know what? I've given too many people chances. And it's not that I'm bad to these people. I'm a little bit too good. I'm a little bit too reserved and understanding. And you can't always be that person, because, again, they'll take your kindness for weakness and they'll fuck you over every single time. I'll shut up because I know you got voicemails.
And before I hit those voicemails, my number one rule to stay current in my life as a friend is you have to love yourself solo, and how I love you has to be toppings, because I refuse to be someone that you got some type of entitlement to get, some type of requirement to get, because as a human being, as much as I would love to, the answer is no. As much as I wish I didn't have to work, the answer might be no. As much as I'm for you, you're having a wedding, I'm not coming, but I love you though. You know what I'm saying? And that's how it has to be. A lot of people will require a lot from other people that they don't even give themselves a requirement for it. And I'm not trying to be on that list of shit, but I'm gonna go through these voicemails. We gonna wrap this show up. If you want to drop a voicemail before we close out, please drop it. Who we got?
I get it now. I know what my investment was. My friendship was very valuable to him, and he would call me his best friend all the time. And so I can see how I really hurt him by telling him I needed to separate from him. But here's the thing, is that he grew up with lots of people envying him, lots of people, and only looking at him as a come up. And the lack of logic that I saw was that, brother, I was with you when you had nothing. You had nothing. And you had stuff, and it wasn't like I wanted your stuff. I was just mad that I have nothing. I have nothing. And I don't feel like you're helping me out here. You're not here with me. And I'm covering you while you're cheating and all that. Like, something is wrong with me. So, I was investing my protection to him. I think that's what it was.
Covering you while you're cheating. Are you a friend or not? That is a whole show in itself.
Let's put that on the docket. Yeah, we're gonna put that one.
It's like the saying, you're in debt to me, so I have this expectation of you, and you've disappointed me. You know, so they're not a friend. That's quite abusive, actually, when you start to break it down. And I had a friend like that. I had to just lock her off. When I had my aha moment, straight lock off. Didn't care how many years, because I could just foresee the future.
Oh, my message cut off. Not everybody's meant to stay in your lives for a long period of time.
Facts. I agree.
He was ashamed and embarrassed, so he just filtered out the truth. And he could hide behind the alcohol as well. That's literally what it is.
People that hide behind alcohol, I can't stand it.
I gotta go after this. I'm about to get my kid home. We're about to go home. One thing he told me before we broke up was that he was like, Chris, I found the secret of like how to interact with folks. You got to make them believe you are what you are. And I was like, no, don't do that. You're going to lose yourself. That's literally what a narcissist does. He presents his false self and never presents his true self. And I was on this whole opposite stream of like, well, I'm always going to be transparent. I'm going to show you guys who I am. So two sides of a coin, but not really. I just realized that I had to let go of my feeling like he was protecting me from something. And so now I'm living naked in my true self. It's hard. You grow up thinking that your homeboys are going to protect you from things, and then they just can't, really, you know?
Yeah. It's a gamble. All relationships are gambles. You gotta know when you got a bad hand and when to drop it off. And I want people to remember this too. As you get older, your filter for people should get better. And the con and sometimes the pro of your filter getting better as you age and you get wisdom is the fact that it's less people that you feel a need to keep around, less people that you want to leave keep around, and you become okay with having two friends instead of 12, or just having, you know, friendships in other pockets. Like, figure out how to keep that friendship bond in your marriage fresh. Figure out how to keep a friendship bond with your parents as they get older. Because that's another thing. I think there's a point in your life where everything that your parents said to you when you were younger starts to make sense in your older age. And then y'all start to have like this newfound respect for each other. And you need to build on that. You need to learn and absorb as much as you can with your parents. Like, all your friendship intimacy doesn't have to come from someone who was once a stranger to you, and over time y'all just gave each other the title of friends. Friendship as you get older has to grow with you. When it's not growing with you, I don't think it's good for you, you know. But I appreciate everybody coming here, sharing, listening for Loud Mouth Stereo. If you would like to listen to this whole show in its entirety, check back on Monday on your favorite podcast app. I should have it up and edited for you to listen, pause, clip, do whatever with, or share with a friend that needs it as a hint. As a hint. But we appreciate you. Good topic, Greg. Good topic.
Bro, I'm surprised we came a long way from that first 15 minutes, but boy, flames, 5 out of 5 fireballs. Thank y'all for allowing me to unpack that first 15. It's okay. We got here. We had 2 hours. So even though we said we ain't going to be here for a long time, but for a good time, hopefully y'all had a good time, and hopefully y'all come back next week or in 2 weeks.
Facts. I have a vagina appointment in the morning.
And on that note, y'all,
it's a professional one. It's a professional one. But
love from London. Thank you for entertaining me. It is now 3 o'clock in the morning, and I need to sleep. Oh, wow. But thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good night. you coming in. We will I will drop the two shows that we're gonna do for March before the weekend on here, so you guys know if you want to come back through. But we appreciate you guys coming through. Bye.
Peace.